technical difficulty, and panic struck in. Turned it on and no light. Back at the other. So this week, this morning, especially in the last couple weeks, and I've heard a phrase be thrown out several times and talk about it, and that is the term harvest. This time of year, and rightfully so. In our region of the world, right, is that this is harvest time. Crops are being harvested in many different ways around. And as I shared earlier, it's the time of year when most of us, this is our most joyful time of the year. It's the time of year that we like the best. And it should be, you know, and God's really put on display the majesty of his colors that he shows us around. And the smells and the festivals, the colors that come to life, the gathering in of the fields and the blessings to others. A general grateful feeling comes around this time of year. In fact, we even name a holiday after it, right? The Thanksgiving in not too distant future here. But I've heard this several times. The Israelites also kind of partook in this as well, in a similar way, in that one of their three great feasts that they partook in was that of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. Sometimes in the book of Numbers, it kind of refers to it as the festival of first fruits, the gathering in. And that's all because of the newly harvested grain that would have been done there. Jesus, though, in his teachings, would speak of this many times and use the same terms as he would teach and throughout his life. He would use the harvest terminology, if we would say it like that, in talking about the impact of his ministry and how it would, that may impact others, but then encouraging the disciples to then, in those same terms, impact others. He used, in one of the parables, he used that of the fields are white unto harvest, or they are ripe, they are plentiful. And even asked his disciples, he says, to ask the Lord of the harvest for more laborers in the field, and into the field, because he says the laborers are few. As his crucifixion drew close, he would even tell of a story, and he'd tell his disciples of that single kernel of wheat that must, or a single kernel that must fall to the ground and be planted before life would grow. And even in a sense, I think, talking about his own life that would be given as he is crucified and dies and is buried and rose again. And we use these same terms today. The bread and the fruit of the vine, all used from things that are harvested. These emblems are given to us kind of in a way to remind us, and Jesus would have done that when he met with his disciples that last time in the upper room. And so when we think of that, these terms of harvest, and they're used to remind us of his death, his burial, and his resurrection there on the third day. So as we partake and as we think about Jesus being planted or buried, and even think of us as if we've been planted or buried with him in baptism, arise to walk in a newness of life, let us remember the Lord of the harvest. Your Dear Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for especially this time of year that we see in your majesty on full display in the colors and the changing of seasons and knowing that you're full in control. You've given us many things to think of and to show forth in your life and in our lives as well, and just to remember that you are the Lord of the harvest. And we ask, as we remember with these emblems here before us, that the bread representing your body that was just even offered up and then torn apart and beaten through the whip and the scourge that was done but freely given on behalf of your love for us. And even the fruit of the vine, as it represents your blood that was poured out for us and even gushed out, it even says, when the spear was thrust into your side and the nail holes in your hands and your feet. The agony that you went through, though, is the blessing for us. And we just thank you for that as we remember this in these emblems today, remembering the beauty and majesty of you and your Son. Of course, in his name we pray. Amen.